News of the alleged shooter's religion instantly made this a delicate moment for the nation's Muslims, and many have been offering prayers for the victims. Muslim groups say what the alleged shooter did was a brutal act and a personal act. NPR's Kerry Khan reports.
Muslim leaders across the country were quick to condemn the shootings at Fort Hood.
This is a sad day in our nation's history, and we reiterate the American Muslim community's condemnation of this cowardly attack.
In Washington, D.C., Nihad Awad, who heads the Council on American-Islamic Relations, said everyone's thoughts are with the victims and their families. And he added, while little is known about the shooter's motives, there is no defense for such actions.
No political or religious ideology could ever justify or excuse such wanton and indiscriminate violence.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
At the Southern California Islamic Center, a small crowd remained late into the evening. Worshipper Mohammed Shamin Hussein said many stayed to pray for the victims in Texas.
This really is hard. I can think about their parents, their brother, sister. It really is shocking news for everyone.
Shamin says when he found out that the shooter was Muslim, he couldn't help but worry about a backlash. Groups from the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee to the Muslim Public Affairs Council issue statements urging calm and cautioning members in their communities to take precautions. Several organizations said they had already received hate emails, and a death threat had been sent to a mosque in Irving, Texas, outside Dallas. In Los Angeles, law enforcement was sent to area mosques, according to Sheriff Lee Baca.
The Sheriff's Department currently is deploying deputy sheriffs and radio cars to all the Islamic centers and Muslim mosques within our jurisdiction. And that, I think, is just a preventative measure.
LA's interim police chief said local cops are also on the lookout for any attacks against Muslims. The executive director of the local Muslim Public Affairs Council, Salam Al-Marati, said he's thankful for the support, but police alone can't protect his community.
We need to remain vigilant, but at the same time, we don't want people to change their lives completely. We want them to go on with their regular lives, but at the same time, we live in very extraordinary times.
He says Friday prayers will be held as usual, with special thoughts going out to the victims at Fort Hood. Kerry Khan, NPR News.
As we noted, Fort Hood is one of the largest military posts in the United States, a virtual city unto itself. It has more than 50,000 soldiers, not counting their families. Fort Hood has a proud history of service, which dates back to World War II, but the post and the surrounding communities have had their share of tragedy. Back in 1991, 24 people were killed and another 20 were injured when a gunman went on a shooting spree in a crowded cafeteria. At the time, that was the worst mass murder in U.S. history. And of course, investigators are still looking into yesterday's shooting and we'll bring you more as we learn it.
The shooting at Fort Hood has raised questions about the experience of Muslims who serve in the military. For more, we turn to Rafael Lantigua. He's a lieutenant in the Army National Guard, and he's a Muslim chaplain candidate. He joined the military in 1994 and has served three tours of duty overseas. He joins us now from a mosque in Austin, Texas. Lieutenant, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be here with you.
Lieutenant, I'm curious about your reaction to the shootings at Fort Hood, specifically when you heard the name of the shooting suspect.
My first reaction was I was awestruck by the incident in and of itself. I was hoping that it would not be someone affiliated with the Muslim faith. But at that very moment, that was my first thought. Was my first reaction.
Mm-hmm. And as you learned more and realized that it was someone who was a practicing Muslim.
my conclusion or my assumption was this is obviously someone who is not familiar with the teachings of the religion. I mean, going to the mosque or dressing a certain way does not necessarily mean that you understand the teachings of the faith.
An aunt of the alleged shooter, Major Hassan, told the Washington Post that he had faced name-calling, a certain amount of harassment about his Muslim faith for years after the September 11th attack. She alleged that he was called a sand jockey and other names. Does that surprise you?
Not really, because there are always are going to be individuals that within a large organization such as the military that will say derogatory comments. But see, what we have in the military are we have regulations and processes in place to address those incidences. So that if those things did take place, there were courses of action, various ones that he could have taken, whether it be through his chain of command, whether it could have been an EEO complaint, MEO complaint. So there are various avenues he could have taken to address those issues, and they could have been addressed accordingly. So,
yeah, have you ever faced this kind of thing yourself?
Oh, yes. And the vast majority of them have been due to just ignorance on the part of the individuals. But once we sit down and have a conversation and say, look, you know, this is what we as Muslims believe, and this is what Islam teaches, and once those bridges are built, those concerns or suspicions or stereotypes or what have you, they go away. So ignorance is a key component as to why we have the misunderstandings that we have, not just on the part of Americans, but also on the part of Muslims.
You know, I spent some time on the web this afternoon, and there are dozens of postings on the web where people are expressing all kinds of views. Several people saying that Muslims at this point should not be allowed to serve in the military. How do you counter that kind of thinking?
The reality is we combat fears with knowledge. And Muslims have been, firstly, Muslims have been a part of the American society since slavery. And that's a well-known fact. I mean, many of the slaves that came over were Muslims. Additionally, Muslims have been serving in the armed forces since the Revolutionary War. We have Muslims that are buried at Arlington Seminary. We have Muslims that have fought and died in Iraq and in Afghanistan and continue to serve honorably. You can't allow 1% to say they represent the other 99%.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Rafael Lantigua is a lieutenant in the Army National Guard, and he is also a Muslim chaplain candidate.